Well, when the shooting happened in Las Vegas, people attending the concert suddenly found themselves delivering emergency first aid to strangers. Some fashioned makeshift tourniquets that helped slow bleeding. And our next guest says more people should learn how to do that in a crisis. Andrew Fisher is a volunteer with an awareness campaign called Stop the Bleed. He served as an Army Ranger and a physician's assistant on 8 combat tours. His regiment managed to dramatically cut deaths by training all personnel on how to use tourniquets. He's now attending medical school as a Tillman Scholar at Texas A&M. Andrew, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me.
So it makes sense that this would be something you would need to know in combat, but you say civilians should know how to do this as well.
Yeah, so there was a recent study or report, I should say, that came out of the National Academies of Science, Engineering, Medicine. And what they found was there was some similarities between preventable deaths in combat and what we see in the civilian setting. So they found that in 2014, about 30,000 people, or 20%, may have survived if there would have been an appropriate and timely medical care delivered after the injury. And largely that was due to bleeding. So can we as society decrease the amount of preventable deaths or potentially survivable deaths if we can simply teach everyone how to control hemorrhage from an extremity?
Well, how difficult is it for just an ordinary person to deal with a tourniquet?
When it comes to hemorrhage control, tourniquets, the ones that are proven to be effective, are not necessarily difficult to operate. It doesn't take much training in order to be proficient in the application, but certainly just like any other skill, it is perishable, and you should maintain some sort of regular training to ensure that you're proficient in your application.
And many people who have taken first aid classes and have learned how to use a tourniquet have also been taught that if they do so, the person is probably going to lose that limb. Is that true?
Right. So the old tourniquet and you're going to lose your limb scenario, it's for the most part false. Tourniquets have been used on thousands of extremities in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the result is that zero limbs were lost due to that tourniquet use. We absolutely know that 2 hours of tourniquet time is safe and you will not have any necessarily bad outcomes. And I can't say 100% that is, you know, you're not going to have any adverse effects, but certainly by and large, 2 hours of tourniquet time is very safe and with very little adverse outcomes in people who have them applied.
Is this the kind of thing that is common enough that people should know how to do it the way that they may know how to do CPR or the Heimlich maneuver?
I believe so. If you look at some of the data from out-of-hospital cardiac arrest survival rates, it's not very good, yet we still teach it to a lot of people, and we should. If we can save lives, we should definitely put forth the effort. The problem is I don't think we're putting forth that same effort for bleeding control. I think if you look at the instances like Las Vegas and other terrorist activities, it does cause people to discuss it and talk about it and get the training at that time, but we kind of see that interest just kind of dissipate. It'd be nice if we could find a way to keep that movement alive, because I think overall, if you look at how easy it is to control hemorrhage and the outcomes that you could receive from simple, you know, hemorrhage control is probably greater than what you could probably see with, you know, everyone learning CPR. You know, a lot of people who go into cardiac arrest have pre-existing conditions that at the end state, they're probably not going to survive based upon some of the data. But people who have accidents at home or on the road, you know, car accidents, and then they have this bleeding, certainly they can survive with simple bleeding control maneuvers.
What if someone doesn't have a tourniquet when they need one? Can they use a belt or something else?
Well, you know, like bleeding control says, you know, you should be able to apply direct pressure or pack a wound. Things like belts haven't been demonstrated to be very effective when it comes to improvised tourniquets. I think the important thing about improvised tourniquets is to ensure that it has some sort of windlass, which the windlass is the device that allows you to tighten that tourniquet in order to control the bleeding. As long, I think if you understand the mechanisms of a tourniquet, ensuring that it's wide enough, ensuring that you can tighten it with a windlass, and then secure that windlass, I think is the key to improvising a tourniquet.
That's Andrew Fisher, who is a volunteer with the Stop the Bleed campaign. He served as a physician's assistant during 8 tours of duty in Afghanistan and is now a Tillman Scholar studying to be a physician at Texas A&M. Andrew, thank you.
Thank you, sir.